All right, Pinkies. Well, here we go. Now, I guess this will be the follow-up episode to my feelings about this new car that I got. So we'll be talking about a lot of things. I'm just out sort of not being very responsible, I guess. Better turn on the police detector. This car is so loud. It's terrible. System ready. Oh my goodness. This car just drives me crazy. It's just ridiculous. Where am I going? Oh, fuck, I don't know. Let's go this way. So I'm going someplace that I've never been before, which is why I am, of course, confused. I'm sorry, I will close the windows because this car is far too noisy for us to be able to have a half-decent conversation. Speaking of conversations, Ranger John and Daniel were going on about things on their show. I've been bantering back and forth with Ranger John on various other topics. One of them was naming cars. I guess I should tell you what we're going to call this car as well. In case you haven't figured it out, I am in the new Porsche 911 Carrera 4. So I will have to tell you what name we came up with. And if I will try to stay on topic because I see I've been distracted now twice. But let me tell you about Ranger John and his idiotic email messages. So we're talking about things and he says, we're talking about naming cars. And he says, we've come up with a name for our car. This is in an email message. Aurelius Castucius Plinkington or something. I can't remember the name. Some extremely obscure name for their car. Lucky Cerulean Poontang. That's what it was. They were going on and on about Poontang and the definitions of Poontang. People, the quality of these podcasts has got to change. Like, this is... I implore you. Speaking of quality podcasts, did you hear the Ed and Hank, that mess of a show they put out, episode number 2? I mean, they basically turned the microphone on and just went the whole time. Oi, you know, there is such a thing as edit. Oh, you guys. I listened to episode 3 anyway, despite having considerable doubts after listening to episode 2. Anyway, poor Ed is going to be beside himself. I think I don't love him anymore. All right, so Ranger John, we've named our car Lucky Cerulean Poontang. And then about 30 seconds later, I get another email. I meant my cat. So they have a cat named Lucky Cerulean Poontang. Not a car named Lucky Cerulean Poontang. So this car that I'm in, the 911, it too has been granted a name, and the name we're going to call it is Dorian Gray. Because it's gray. I'm sure you all know the story about Dorian Gray, the immortal young man with the painting that he can never see. So we're naming this car along those lines. Now, welcome to Dorian Gray. Now, let me tell you about this goofy car. The very first thing I noticed about this car over the old 911 was how much heavier it was. heavier in the front end, and I thought that might be a drawback, but in fact, it ends up that there's that weight distribution, it happens to be exactly 60-40, 60% over the rear, 40% front, but with all the mechanics for that front wheel drive being so low, and the engine in the back being so low, it just feels like all the weight is really low in the car. So this is really helps the handling, of course, because all the all the weight is very low, very low center of gravity. And the other just absolutely remarkable thing is the way that the car, of course, grips in corners. Because of that front wheel drive, it's just completely different. Something I miss a little bit is the different power range. The old car had a much nicer low end, like a bottom end power. So you could just be, down in 2,500 to 3,500 RPMs and press on the gas and it would react much quicker. So I kind of miss that in this car because of the extra weight. It doesn't have that much power, but it drives faster. I feel as though there's a different set of gears. The ratios are different in this with this transmission than the one I had previously. So it's a little different in the power ranges, but still absolutely powerful enough. The engine is powerful, more than powerful enough to handle the extra weight of this car. Obviously I'm loving this car. It's super fantastic. I'm still not too keen on this loud exhaust. But, failing that, it's an absolutely magnificent car to drive. It's just hilarious. It's such a lark. And it's so much fun to accelerate in. It's just lovely. And it feels more planted on the road. I do like that. I miss a little bit the sort of the feeling like you could die of the old car, where you'd go blasting into a corner and sort of hoping like, are we going to make the turn? Is the front wheel going to grip? So the sort of that risky edge is missing a bit, because this car really grips really well. Or at least I'm not driving it fast enough to find out where that limit is. I will tell you one thing. It absolutely needs rear tires. The rear tires in this car are horrible, and consequently, it's causing the car to shimmy around and hobble around, so I absolutely have to get new tires. There's coppers. Where are you, copper? Okay, where was I then? Did I tell you about my left foot? Folks, I'm getting old. I know I say this, I've been saying this a lot lately. I did something to my foot, and I twisted my ankle or something. I've been hobbling around like some sort of a invalid for the last about 3 weeks, and my foot still doesn't feel right. So it's my gas pedal foot, so I can't press the gas hard enough anymore. what do you do? Just these constant aches and pains. And I kind of got set off of my sleep schedule. Because they actually make me work at work, and you do a couple of rough night shifts and then you're just no good for nothing. So I've wasted a day recovering my sleep. I hate it when that happens. I have to stay on my sleep cycle religiously. And if I don't, I pay for it. So I feel like I wasted a day just sleeping. I just do not like that. Anyway, and my foot hurts when I get up in the morning. And so, I have a question for people who don't live in North America. Is your, if your steering wheel is on the wrong side, what does that mean? If your steering wheel is on the right-hand side, is your gas pedal, where's your gas pedal? Is your gas pedal on the right-hand side, or is it on the inside of the car? Because my gas pedal is my right foot, which is on, is at the center of the car, and my brake foot is at the outside edge of the car. My left foot, clutch and, you know, what all that. I want to know, does Ozzy Battler, where's your gas pedal? Is it closest to the wheel or closest to the center of the car? Because then if I have to amputate my foot, it's not my left foot, it's my right foot, you idiot. If I have to amputate my right foot, I want to know if I'm, will I be able to drive, will I have to move to Australia to drive some sort of wacky Peugeot to get my kicks? Got to hang up the keys to my Porsche and opt for a Peugeot. Oh, dear God. Anyway, let me know. Let me know where your gas pedal foot is. Mine is going to be leaving it behind at the doctor's office because it doesn't work anymore. Now, you know, I watched this movie Cloud Atlas. Have you seen this movie Cloud Atlas? I'm not, spoiler for you. Almost everybody lives happily ever after, except for, of course, the cute gay kid, of course, takes a bullet in the head. Sorry if you haven't seen that show, but what a convoluted story this was. This was hours and hours of learning who all these different people were and how they're all connected. And I was getting exhausted by the end of it. And of course, they're all cutely played by each other. It's one actor doing six roles, and all these stories in certain pockets of time. Other people have tried to explain Cloud Atlas to me before, and I thought, "What? I have no idea what you're talking about." Here I am trying to explain it to you. It's such a super convoluted film. There's like six storylines in it, and it's all about the same people somehow. Obviously, this makes no sense. Anyway, it's one of those movies you have to watch three times, I think, in order to truly appreciate the craft. And then you want to go back and see who's acting. Halle Berry acts as an old man doctor, and it's so vacuous, isn't it? It's a little overdone. Charming, I guess. And hats off to people playing multiple roles. Basically, it's the longest drawn-out love, you know, boy meets girl, girl meets boy love story with a bit of thrown in the industry against the world and we're all going to die and yada, yada, yada. And of course, the two gay lovers. Now, what is this? What's the matter with people? Here you have this young composer, cute guy, who's in love with somebody else. Frobisher is his name, I believe. He writes a musical, and then kills himself because, oh, I've done everything I feel like I'm ever going to do with my life. I wrote my music, I was in love, and now there's no more reason to live. So he kills himself in the bathtub. Now, what kind of asinine thinking is this? I've accomplished my goal, so there's no longer any reason to live. And we write these stories. Millions and millions of stories are based on this. This Romeo and Juliet complex. He didn't have to die. He could have gone on and had more sex, for Christ's sake. I just don't understand that. I'm gonna kill myself because I'm in love. Well, pull the trigger. So, I enjoyed that movie. I enjoyed that movie as much as I sound like I didn't. I think I'm gonna have to watch it again. That's another 3 hours out of my life just flushed down the tube. Ugh. I don't know what's going on. Well, I think that's it for me. I've prattled on enough about this car and about my life. I'm almost at destination number one. Thank you for listening. I am the Fey Driver. You can email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. And I guess I should thank you for listening, because who knows what you got this episode. If you can even hear it above the exhaust.